The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. It's always a privilege to be in this place and to stand in this pulpit. I will say about the incident that occurred today, I just found out about it a couple hours ago. And for nearly 25 years, I worked, as you know, as a prosecutor very, very closely with law enforcement, actually part of law enforcement. And it was always, there were always the two main fears that law enforcement officers have when they get up and go to work every day. Is the first fear is that they'll get shot or killed and won't come back. But the second fear is that they'll have to shoot somebody. They'll have to take somebody else's life. And that's a sad situation when that happens. So certainly be in prayer for our sheriff over there in Pickens County and the deputy that was involved in that shooting. And lift them up in prayer. Just continue to pray for the kingdom of God in this area, certainly, but I feel such a burden to be in prayer, to ask the Lord to protect the kingdom of God wherever it may be and to grow it in places where it is not manifest. I think that's a topic that ought to be a topic of our prayers every day. This evening, if you will, for a few minutes, look with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Over the last few months, maybe a couple of years, from time to time, the Lord has sort of impressed on my heart to preach on some verses that are misunderstood and misapplied and misinterpreted by the world. This verse 27 that I just read in your hearing is a verse that is so often misinterpreted, misapplied, but even moreover, more than that, misquoted. Because myself, I've done it myself. And there have been many times when I've said this or you've heard this quoted this way, as it is appointed unto a man once to die, but after this the judgment. And you think, well, what's the big difference and what's the big deal? Well, it's a big deal and it's a big difference, and we ought to do the best we can to get the quote correct, for one reason, just to be right with what the Bible says. But also, this verse, as with many other verses that are misquoted and misapplied, if you do that and you don't understand what it really means, then you are missing out on a important truth from the Word of God and a great blessing as well. I'll take you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 or 13. I always get those two mixed up. But anyway, where you know, you've always heard the Lord won't put on you more than you can bear. Well, that's not what the verse says at all. The verse says, there hath no temptation taken you. I don't see the Lord in that, do you? There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's a lot more words, and it's a lot more truth in there than just saying, oh, well, the Lord won't put on you more than you can bear. Now, I've said it, and you've said it, I'm sure. I know I've said it in the past few years, probably, but I've tried lately to get it right because that makes a big difference, and I don't have time to preach on that. I'm getting off track here. I don't have time to preach on that verse. As much as I'd like to, because there's so much more there, like Romans 8 and 28. Well, it just applies, you know, we know that all things without exception work together for good to them that love God. That's not what it says. And what it says is so much greater than that. So here is likewise a verse that is often misunderstood and often misquoted. And let me just Let me just start off here with a question. Do you have an appointment with death? Okay, that's a trick question. That's a lawyer's question, Brother Luke. Josh would get this, okay? You know what the answer to that is? Do you have an appointment with death? The answer is yes and no. Okay? Well, how can that be so? Well, bear with me, and we'll try to get there, okay? But the way people often understand that is they say that, okay, that means that there is a certain date, hour, a second even, that the Lord has appointed that you're going to die. He has set that from time immemorial, and that you're not, you know, some people say you're not going to die till your time comes. Or you're not going to live past when your time comes, okay? And often that people in the religious world that don't even know what Primitive Baptists believe or don't have anything to do with Primitive Baptists believe, well, there's a day coming when the Lord has set for you to die and you will not live past that, and that date is the date that you're going to take your last breath. I heard a man one time who I thought much of and still think much of. Many, many years ago, he's gone to be home to be with the Lord now, but said when we were digging a grave one time about someone who had died suddenly a heart attack at home, and he said, I don't care if there had been doctors there. I don't care if there had been emergency personnel there. He said if he'd had the heart attack in the hospital, he said, I believe that the Bible says there's an appointed time to man on the earth. And when that appointment comes, he's going no matter what. OK, now let me stop here and say this. OK. There is a sense, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say, because there is a sense in which God knows, okay? There's not a sense in which God knows. God knows all things. God knows the future. He knows what you're going to be doing tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. He knows it all, okay? And He knows that when you're going to die. I'll put it that way. He knows when you're going to die, okay? Now, God knowing something and God causing something is two different things. You got to always remember that, okay? And I say that because this is the way I used to believe that. I used to believe that there is a death appointment, that the date, the hour, the second, that it was set up from before the foundation of the world that you were going to die. I used to believe that. But let me tell you what it is. It's more of a philosophy than it is of what the Scripture says. Okay? Now, I'll try to come back to that, Lord willing, if we have time. But just understand that in the sense, it's not, this doesn't mean that God doesn't know everything and that God is not the ultimate sovereign of the universe. But what we are dealing with is not philosophy. It's not theorems and proofs. It's Bible. What does the Bible say? And that's really all we ought to ask. Psalms, the 131st chapter. I want you to listen to what it says, because sometimes we're guilty of this. Oh, I read some of those old ancient sophists back in the Middle Ages that were great philosophers. They were masters of logic, and they were great logicians. They would come up with these proofs and all that, and they tried to mix rationality and reason in with faith. And certainly faith is not irrational, okay? Faith is not irrational. Irrational means it doesn't add up, okay? Now, but faith is non-rational. You can't reason your way into faith, okay? In Psalm 131 and verse 1, listen to what David himself, the man after God's own heart, said. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now, here's my point about that. You remember what I said, that this idea of God, well, God knows, therefore it must be set and it can't be changed, and therefore determinism is the truth and all that kind of stuff. Listen, that's too high for you. That's too high for me, okay? Anything that's outside the Bible is too high for us. And let's don't exercise ourselves in there. So let's just see what does the Bible say. And let me say one other thing preliminarily before we go any farther. One of the problems with this idea that there's a fixed time for you to die, from the standpoint that God fixed it and it's unalterable, and there's nothing you or anybody else, nothing you or anybody else does affects that, okay? Is it, beloved, that's really at its heart absolutism. That's really, you know what absolutism is? That's saying that God has unalterably fixed and predestinated from before the foundation of the world all things that happen. And there's no changing it. And that's our Calvinist brethren, our absoluter brethren, love them dearly, but that's what they get into. I heard one say one time that he believed that he was talking to another person and saw he was talking to someone who wasn't an absoluter about what he believed. And he saw a roach crawl across the floor. And he said, I believe in absolutism so much that if I got up, if someone comes walking across that floor right now and steps on that roach, I believe God predestinated that very roach to take that very many steps to that very place. And that person was predestinated to walk right over there at that very moment and crush it under his foot. Okay. I'm sorry. That's just not what the Bible teaches. Okay. That's not what the Bible teaches. And we need to remember that. And then when you get to this point of saying, oh, well, this is your date of death is unalterably fixed by God. Beloved, we've gone down the steps, way down the path toward absolutism. I heard Brother Sonny Pyle say one time that the real problem with the absoluter is that he believed that the absoluter believes that God deals with all the people all of the time, the way he dealt with some of the people some of the time. That's a pretty good way to look at it, isn't it? Because there are some times when some things are appointed. There are some things that are appointed. Back in Genesis chapter 18, rather, if you'll just turn with me there, we'll look at a few of these things where God does fix a time for certain things. Okay? He's done that in the past. Okay? In Genesis chapter 18... And the whole story in Genesis chapter 18 has to do with the Lord appearing to Abraham and telling him, Abraham, I'm reaffirming my promise to you that I'm going to give you a son, that you're going to actually have a son by Sarah, and he's going to be your heir. And by the way, that's going to be the lineage through which I will bless all peoples of this earth, because Christ is going to be born in that lineage. And if you look down in verse 14, he says, this is God talking to Abraham. And Sarah overheard it, and she laughed about it and said, I'm too old. There's no way I can have a baby now. And she laughed. And so God responding in verse 13 said, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? Verse 14, listen to this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a sermon in and of itself right there. Now listen, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now here is a situation where there was a time appointed by God for Sarah and Abraham to have a child. Does that mean that every child that's ever born and every birth that ever occurs is at a time appointed by God? You know, there are many people who believe that, and they believe that your death is appointed. But beloved, there are laws of nature God has put into effect. There are laws of actions and consequences that God has put into effect that apply. The natural process of conception results in a birth about 9 months later. Okay? In this case, God appointed the time, but that doesn't mean he does it in every case. In Exodus chapter 9, okay? Exodus chapter 9. There's something appointed here. Remember, this is in the middle of, we're jumping in the middle of all of the plagues that occurred in Egypt, because God was chastening and bringing, pouring out his wrath, really, upon the nation of Egypt and in preparation for delivering his people out of there. And in chapter 9, the Lord said unto Moses in verse 1, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the land of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. That's a sickness. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. I remember several years ago, the details don't matter about what it is, but there was a bad sickness, a cattle sickness that we had to vaccinate against. And if the cattle ever got that particular disease and the authorities, the state veterinarian found out about it, then they could quarantine your whole herd and have them destroyed. And sure enough, we had in our cattle, when I was in my teens, we had 4 or 5 cows that had the symptoms of this disease, okay? And it was a disease that would cause their death. Now, in Exodus chapter 9, we read that the Lord appointed a time and said that these cattle are going to die of this particular sickness. Does that mean that when I was a teenager and we had 5 or 6 cows that died of this sickness, that the Lord caused that to happen? I think you know that's foolishness. No. But the absoluter will come in and say, well, see there, the Lord did it here, then he must have done it everywhere. He believes that God deals with all people all the time like he dealt with some of the people some of the time. Hey, there's another example dealing with our very subject tonight. If you look with me over to 2 Samuel chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12, and this is, of course, the aftermath of David's affair with Bathsheba. And in the aftermath of David's affair with Bathsheba, there were some prescribed punishments that came down upon David. And one of those punishments is found in verse 14 of chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. Nathan the prophet says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now, I don't know, I don't want to go into this too deeply, but I don't know if the Lord, you know, I suspect he didn't reach down and touch the child and cause him to die. But whatever it was, he brought that or suffered that to come upon that child. And you can look at it and say, you know, the Lord punished David by taking his child. So there's somebody who died and the Lord did it, so to speak. Okay, the Lord was involved in that. And there was a time here where this child died. Now, so what does that mean for us today in understanding this? Well, let's go to some more problem verses, okay? Let's just stir it on up a little more, and hopefully we'll give you the answer before we're done. You see, in Job, there's a verse that people use often to say that there is a time that is appointed to man. In other words, there's a certain number of days, a certain number of breaths, a certain number of heartbeats, and at the end of that, the Lord takes them. And notice in what he says in chapter 7 of Job, in verse 1, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? Okay? In Ecclesiastes, keep your finger there. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and this is the verse that our friend quoted in talking about there being a time when the Lord has set for each of us to die. In chapter 3, in verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and to pluck up that which is planted and so forth. But we're going to stop right there, okay? And then, of course, our verse that we read while at the beginning of this sermon in chapter 9 of Hebrews in verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, with all this that I've given you and all this that we've seen, how can you say, Brother Chris, that there is not such an appointment in the sense of God has appointed the set hour and the set time and the set day for you to die? Well, it goes back to this, beloved. Number one, the Bible never contradicts itself, ever. Never contradicts itself. And so if we find in the Word of God, and I'm assuming you know this, and if you don't, come see me afterwards or see your preacher. If we find anywhere in the Word of God that the absolute or position about anything is not true, then it can't the other verses can't conflict with that. If you read somewhere in the Word of God where God only predestinated people and not events, okay, that's what predestination's all about. It's not about events that occur. So many people misunderstand that about Primitive Baptists. And it has to do with the fact that the absolute predestination controversy came through here, and most of our churches went that way. Praise God, Bethlehem didn't. Bethlehem stayed true all those years to the truth of God's Word. That predestination is about people and not events. Okay? So this can't conflict. So what do we do when we have a quote-unquote problem verse? Well, you go to the context. Because another thing Brother Sonny Pyle says is that a verse without a context, a text without a context, is usually just a pretext. So let's not make pretext verses. Let's look at context and understand what the verse really means. So, going back to Job chapter 7. And let's see what it says here. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? And notice as you continue reading there, it says, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. Now this word here, this phrase, an appointed time to man upon the earth, you know, it's okay to go back and do word studies. Let me just say, it's important, in fact, that you go back and do word studies. And when we do that, we're not trying to improve upon what the King James Version says. But if you go back and study the word that is translated by those good King James translators here as an appointed time, it's the idea here, the Hebrew word gives the idea of being conscripted into warfare, being drafted into service. And that's what Job is focusing upon here. He's not saying, well, you know, think about it. Think about Job here. Job is suffering more than any man has ever suffered. He's taking a pot shard and scraping himself with it. He's got boils all over his body so bad. You think you're hurting? You think you've got problems? This is the worst eczema that there's ever been. It's terrible. And he's over here, and he's praying for relief, and he's needing relief. He's asking God to help him. But he says, oh, well, but it really doesn't matter because, you know, I'm going to live till I die anyway. You've appointed me a set time, Lord, and so I can't do anything about it, so there's no point in me praying. You know, I actually heard a man say that one time, who was an absolute, said, there's no point in praying. No point in praying because the Lord's determined everything is going to happen anyway. Well, beloved, if there's no point in praying, I've been wasting a lot of time lately because I've been praying for a lot of people, and we've been praying. You had a long prayer list even here tonight for a Wednesday night, wasting a lot of time praying for me. And the Lord was just completely foolish, I suppose, when he went aside himself by himself from his disciples and prayed to his Father. I think I'll follow the example of Jesus and not the example of these absolute preachers, okay? Notice what he's saying here. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? The point of this context, the context of this, and the point of this is not that the Lord has unalterably fixed a day when he's going to die. He's not even talking about death. He's talking about the struggle here. He's talking about the problems here. He says, your days are like a hireling. It's like being drafted into service here. There's warfare going on, and I'm having to fight, and I don't want to fight. And I'm earnestly, like this servant, I'm desiring the shadow. I'm out in the heat, but I'm desiring the shadow. I'm like the hireling who's looking for the end of the day on Friday where he gets paid, you know? See, that's his point here. I could go on, but you see what I'm talking about. Job's saying, Lord, I need relief because what I'm doing here is hurting. It's bad. It's tough. I don't know about you, but I need that sometimes. Life is hard, okay? Life is hard. And I don't want to be like that old absoluter preacher that's walking down the street and gets involved and a car runs up on the sidewalk and breaks his leg and he's laying there and saying, boy, I'm glad that's over with. You get that if you think about it. Nothing he could have done about it, you know. It's just one more thing that the Lord's put on him in this life of troubles and trials. Beloved, I'm so thankful the Lord don't put most of these on us. Sometimes I get chastened, yes, and the Lord's involved in that. But most of what I suffer doesn't have anything to do with God, except the Lord protecting me. All right, well, let's move on. We don't have time to go too much deeper in that. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3, here's another problem verse, okay? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, we've already established that we're not absoluters. We don't believe in absolute predestination of all things, right? Okay. Then why would we want to take verse 2 and turn it into an absolute verse? Because if you take verse 2 like that, you got to take all the rest of them. Listen to what it says. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Oh, okay. Well, that means you're predestinated to be born and you're predestinated to die. Well, if that's the case, then the time you plant is predestinated. The time you pluck up that which is planted is predestinated. Poor old brother Oliver wasted all these years looking at the almanac and looking at the seasons and trying to figure out when the best time to plant was. He should have just waited till he woke up one morning and just said, well, I guess the Lord's in this because I'm going and doing it, you know. He spent so much time. Brother Oliver had those beautiful gardens, you know. Why would he spend all that time if it was all predestinated? A time to kill. My job is over in the secular world. There's no need for judges. There's no need for prosecutors. There's no need for sheriffs and law enforcement. Because if there's a time predestinated to kill, then we can't punish anybody. Because they're doing what God's predestinated them to do. We're violating God's will. Oops, wait, we're not. Because we're predestinated to do that too, right? Boy, you're getting all mixed up if you keep thinking that way. A time to heal. A time to break down. A time to build up. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. A time to dance. And so forth and so on. And my point about that is this. Let's don't separate verse 2 out and make it something it's not. What he's talking about here, he started in chapter 1 saying, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Life is a circle. Life is a wheel. Everything that comes around goes around. It's the same old thing. There's nothing new under the sun. Every day under the sun is a labor and a vanity and vexation of spirit. And that's all there is if you're looking under the sun. If your view is horizontal out there, that's all there is. And he says, here's what it's like. There's a season to everything. There's a time to be born. You know, I can remember when Sherry and I were much younger and we were having our children. They were, you know, we were expanding our family. But in the midst of all that, there was some tragedy. There were some deaths. And I remember her mother died in 1999. Her mother died not long after our third child, Ashley, was born. We'd had Meredith. We had Austin. We had Ashley. And then in 98, and then Miss Sue died in 1999 over at DCH in Tuscaloosa, okay? And I wish Mason were here because he can, in a sense, it's kind of true and kind of not, but in a sense, he can thank the death of his grandmother for him even being here. Because one of the things I told Sherry as we were trying to decide whether we wanted to have another child or not was that, you know, I'd just like to go back over to that hospital for a happy reason. You know, you think about it. Now, you think about all the sad reasons to be in the hospital, but having a child is a great reason. You know, and we'd had three, and it was great. I was thinking, I just want to go back and have a happy. But now, look, That was wonderful, and it was great. You know, it was sweet, precious time. But since then, we've had other deaths. We've had other people die. And that wheel of life has rolled back around again. And it's continuing to be a season here and a season there. And that's what he's talking about. He's not saying, oh, I've absolutely predestinated this to occur. He's saying, there's a season, everything. There's a time you're going to experience death. There's a time you're going to experience birth. There's a time you're going to laugh. There's a time you're going to weep. And that's the way it is in life. That's the context. Finally, just to sort of bring this all around, in chapter 9 of Hebrews, in verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die. Well, see there? That's teaching us that God has appointed the very second hour, second minute, hour, and day that you're going to die. And that's not what this is teaching at all, beloved. This is teaching something much greater than that. And by the way, I didn't even get to the verses like Proverbs chapter 10. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27 that says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Okay? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I didn't go back to Exodus and talk about honoring your father and mother that your days may be long on the earth. You see, there's so many other scriptures that tell us that if we do certain things, we'll live longer. If we do other things, we'll die quicker. Okay? I promise you. I mean, I can't guarantee it. But I promise you that you're probably going to die tonight if you turn left out here in the oncoming lane when you're head toward Tuscaloosa about 90 miles an hour. You know, you say, well, I'm not going to die until my time comes. I bet you your time is coming right there. I bet you it's going to come before you get to Tuscaloosa, okay? That's not of the Lord, you see. There are things we can do to increase and to shorten our lives. So what is this verse talking about? It's appointed unto men once to die. Well, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says something about that. It says, I'll just turn there to get it right. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. What he's saying here is, it's not just appointed unto a man, it's appointed unto men once to die. Everybody, you know what the ratio of death to birth is 1 to 1, okay? There is a 100% death rate in the world today. Every person who is born is going to die unless the Lord comes back, okay? Every person that is born is going to die. You're not going to get out of it. There's no discharge in that war, okay? And he's saying it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. I don't have time to get into all that, but you understand that our sins were judged in Christ. And in fact, that's the point of this message. That's the point of this verse. He says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Look at the context here. Look at what the message is. The message is a message of sovereign grace. It's not a message of absolute predestination. It's not talking about anything here other than giving the example of men will die. You will die if the Lord tarries long enough. You will die. And just like that, you know, and that's a sad thing. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? That's kind of a bummer. You see a lot of folks that have pretty hard lives. I know some people that I look at their lives and think, man, they have had it so rough. And all they can expect is to die, you know? You know, I think about Dad and others that have debilitating diseases that will, if the nature takes its course, will end up in death. I read about a man in the Bible like that, a man named Lazarus. And it didn't say, you know, according to what I read, I don't know what he had. I don't know if he had Parkinson's or diabetes or cancer or what, but he had something that they knew he was probably going to die. He was suffering. He was sick, and he got sick, and over a process of time, he died. And that process probably wasn't easy and wasn't pretty. His sister sent for the Lord to come heal him, okay? And the Lord came and raised him from the dead, right? Praise the Lord. How exciting. You know, I got this vision of Lazarus coming back from the dead and getting out there and just sitting around, man, I'm back. Oh, it's great. Oh, it's great. It's awesome. It's wonderful. And then maybe when he laid down that night, I don't know, he's like, wait a minute. I got to go through this all again. I got to die still. In fact, the next week, the next day, the Pharisees are trying to kill him. He's already having to flee for his life. That wasn't a blessing. I mean, it was. You know what I mean. But that wasn't the reason the Lord came. You struggle through life, and then you die. Okay? That's what he's saying. It's appointed unto men once to die. But here's the good news, and this is the gospel as we bring this to a close. Back in verse 23, it is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Speaking of the blood of bulls and goats that could not put away sin, he said the patterns were purified that way. It was a type, it was a shadow, but the heavenly things themselves, the actual facts of the matter was, is that something better had to come and purify the heavenly things, purify those who will ultimately live in heaven. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now is our verse. It follows right along with that and explains it to people who are going to die and know about death. It says, as it is appointed unto men once to die. It's as if Paul is sitting here saying, look, Jesus, he didn't have to die a bunch of times. You only die once. You only die once. He died once. And as it's appointed unto you once to die, it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I've heard that verse quoted so many times to prove that there isn't a time, a second, a minute, a day when you're going to die, and the Lord has established that from eternity past. Pulling that verse completely out of the context of the blessed gospel, the glorious gospel that Jesus Christ, just like you, just like you're going to die, not at a certain time, you know, not at a certain hour. As far as we're concerned, we can do everything, try to do everything we can to prolong that time. But you're going to die. But guess what? Christ died. Christ died. And he bore the sins of many. And just like that scapegoat that was taken out into the wilderness by the fit man, all the sins of the children of Israel had been confessed over the head of that goat. And that goat, bearing figuratively the sins of the nation of Israel, was taken by a fit man into the wilderness to let go, to be let go. And the fit man came back, but the goat with the sins stayed. He says, even so, to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Our fit man died, just like we're going to die. But the difference in us and him is he's coming back. He arose again, and he's coming back without sin unto salvation. I hope these have been helpful thoughts for you tonight.